The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
And there's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Best-selling award-winning author Ruth Ware joins me now to chat about her latest read, which focuses on the protagonist Hannah, who discovers that all is not what it seems when it comes to how her college friend died. And she finds shocking evidence years later, which implicates several, possibly, of her friends in their death and or in her death, rather. Ruth is with us this morning. Ruth, are you there? Hello, Ruth.
Hi. Sorry, called out for some reason.
It is very lovely to talk to you, Ruth. I was just explaining, because it's quite a tricky plot to synopsize, because effectively you have the linear plot that is running from the beginning of events 10 years after April's death. And then interwoven with that, you have a timeline of the events running up to April's death. Very tricky thing, I would imagine, as an author to stitch together. Or do you write it as a linear narrative and then split it up?
Well, first of all, you did a great job of summarising the plot, much better than me, so congratulations. I always write it as the reader reads it. It's the only way that I can kind of keep the, keep in mind what the reader knows, what clues I've fed them, where they are in the narrative. And I think people from the outside often think that it's quite a tricky thing to stitch together. But actually, I think the secret is that in some ways it's much the easiest kind of plot to write, because every time things flag in one timeline, you can just be like, oh, I'll switch to the other one and make something exciting happen.
And if that then isn't so difficult, what about the thing of trying to cast aspersions on various different characters? Because one of the things that you do so well in this book is you cause legitimate suspicion to land on several different characters without ever making them overtly apparently evil, or without ever acting as a total spoiler to the end conclusion.
Absolutely. Well, I do love a red herring, both as a reader and a writer. And I think the thing is, all of us, our actions can be looked at in very different ways if you're looking at them through a lens of suspicion, So lots of the people in my plot have done stuff that's perfectly ordinary actions. When you're at uni, you fall out with people, you fall in love with people, you have arguments, you have grudges. All of that's just a normal part of being a student. But the point is that when you're looking at that from a certain perspective, which is the perspective of either the criminal justice system or someone trying to solve a murder, almost anything can look suspicious. So that's my job as a writer, to look at it through the worst possible lens.
And what about the challenge of making people like a character who you very early kill off? Because I assume that you want to get people emotionally invested in the victim before the victim dies. Whereas in this instance, April meets her end fairly early on.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a big, as you know, I'm really inspired by kind of classic crime. And that's probably the only thing that I have a slight quibble with in classic crime, is that very often the victim is only there to sort of act as the kind of impetus for the plot to set in motion. You don't ever really feel you get to know them in some books. So that is something that I really hard to do. I wouldn't say that I'm that concerned with making my characters likable. April in particular, who's the girl who's murdered, I don't think is a particularly likable character. She's quite complicated. She's quite difficult to categorize. But I guess I wanted people to be interested in her, and I wanted them to care about what happened to her. And that, I think, is done through Hannah's eyes. Hannah's her best friend, and she had a complicated relationship with April, but ultimately she cares about her a lot. And so I hope the reader feels that investment.
You also stage the plot in a fairly constrained setting. It is largely, though not exclusively, in and around the school and the interaction in that location that the friends share together. Was that a deliberate choice so you could allow the characters to flourish and to blossom and not be distracted with huge giant landscapes and big geographical jumps?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think I felt that there was quite a lot going on already in terms of the jumping back and forth in time. And then obviously in the present day timeline, Hannah is in Edinburgh. So there's already quite a lot of jumping back and forth going on. But also, you know, I do love a Doctor of Mystery. And this isn't quite that because, you know, it's not someone sort of, you know, stuck in a literal kind of locked room. But it's definitely a closed cast of characters. And there's something quite brilliantly claustrophobic about university life. But I think about Oxford colleges in particular, because they're so small and they're physically so hedged in. You know, they have really high walls and they have one entrance with the Porter's Lodge where you have to come in and out, which becomes important in the plot. And so it seemed like a bit of a waste not to make the most of that in terms of making the setting as claustrophobic as possible.
And it is already receiving very positive reviews. And given your previous form, one assumes the sales won't be half bad. There is one thing, though, that I want to ask you about outside of this specific book, which is I was reading about the start of your career as an author. And there are a lot of people who will have written books before they got published that didn't get published. You are the only author that I've ever heard of who wrote books that didn't get read. You wrote book after book and kept them under your bed.
I know. I think it was a combination of, I was working in the book trade at the time, and so I felt really constrained from sending my books out to people that I worked with. I just felt like really cringy about it. If I'd been being rejected by strangers, that would have been different. And it was only when I wrote something that was in a completely different genre to the one that I worked in that I felt able to kind of take the leap and send it out. But I think also it was a genuine realization on some level on my part that the books weren't quite good enough. And it took me a long time to learn how to write a really page-turning story. And obviously, you know, I would have been glad if someone in my early 20s had parachuted in with a six-figure offer for one of my books. But actually, in retrospect, I'm pretty glad those books didn't get published. I think that was a good call on my part. So
do you still have them?
Somewhere. Yeah. Some of them are in literal kind of handwritten binders in my attic. Some of them are on a hard disk drive somewhere and probably harder to find. But yeah, maybe I'll have all my papers burned before I'm dead. Or
Well, hopefully someday one or more of them will see the light of day. In the meantime, congratulations on the It Girl and congratulations on the reviews that it is getting, which are extremely positive. That is Ruth Ware, who is the author of The It Girl.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.